Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, third hour, Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network here. On a Tuesday, the All-Star Game is tonight. Good stuff with the Derby last night. Harper, Ron Harper, the cheater, his dad. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studio, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You know what's crazy, too? Now, this can't happen. This doesn't apply anymore. But when they incorporated the dopey rule of whichever league wins the All-Star game, that was so stupid. I never liked that. I mean, that's when they were desperate. They're like, we got to do something to drum up interest. It's starting to lag. That was so poorly executed, I thought. But anyway, they finally got away from it last year. This is the second year. But imagine, this is what we're going to watch tonight. Manny Machado, or Monty Machado, as some people call him here at the studio. Right? You see that too? I'm like, what? Huh? Who got traded? Monty? Who's that? Manny Machado. Now, he's going to be wearing an Orioles uniform tonight, or some sort of Orioles, like that something that says Orioles on it. I haven't seen the All-Star uniforms, but there's always, you know, the hat, or there's always something that says, you know, what team you play for. So, number one, there's two things to worry about. One is really far-fetched but interesting. The other, God forbid, is somewhat plausible. I'll give you the entertaining one, first of all. So, looks like it's the Dodgers. Looks like it's, you know, at the 2 or the 3 yard line, certainly inside the 5. They're going to punch it in pretty soon. And say if it's the Dodgers, which it looks like it will be. What if he is batting in, I don't know, bottom of the 9th, bottom of the 10th, hits a 3-run, and it was still the old rule. And he hits like a 2 or 3 run jack, walk-off home run, American League wins. And then tomorrow you wake up, he's officially a Dodger. And he finds himself in the World Series, and he's playing in Seattle, Houston, defending champions, my Yankees, the Red Sox, somewhere other than L.A. because of the home run that he hit as an Oriole in the All-Star game. Far-fetched, never really happened before in the years from 2003 through 2016, but it could have. So that's just a little quirky stat. But what is possible? Because, you know, baseball, while it's not football, you never know. What happens if he gets hurt tonight? I mean, I hate to even say that. Like, I really, really thought about even uttering those words because I am a believer in superstition in baseball. I'll tell you a quick story. One time, do you ever get those chain letters? Do you ever get those chain letters, Mike, back in the day? Diesel, you're probably a little bit too young for that. You're probably too young to get letters. So everything you've gotten is digital. Back in the day, chain letters, I just thought they were so stupid. I never partook in that. And one year in college, who wound up becoming a good friend of mine, he transfers in for another school. And he's a good player. And we bonded right away, you know, workout buddies, lifted together, hit in the offseason because he came in January to play that season. He was eligible right away. And he gives me this chain letter. I'm like, there's no way. I just stuffed it in my drawer. I had the worst season I could possibly have. So when it comes to baseball, because I didn't pass on the chain letter to, I think it was 7 or 8 other teammates, whatever. So in baseball, I'm a little superstitious. Never want to step on the line. A little quirky things. I really don't like to talk about injury, but I mean, really, that's a component tonight. If this deal is not fully executed, not fully consummated, even though it looks like the Dodgers are the recipient of the winner of the Manny Machado sweepstakes here, God forbid, just think about that. What if he got hurt? Now, it impacts the Dodgers, but it also impacts the Orioles and their ability to get back, you know, players. So I don't know. If I'm Baltimore here, probably less so than the Dodgers, if I'm Baltimore, I would be inflexible on this thing being done tonight. Now, if I wonder how instrumental and how heavy-handed baseball is, and by baseball, I mean Rob Manfred. I don't know. Do we have a situation where Rob Manfred is like, hey, listen, guys, It would be really weird. I mean, he was just voted in, you know, he's American League, you know, shortstop. He's on the American League team, and you know, he hasn't played in the National League yet. He's obviously an all-star, but he's not a National League. I don't know. Are they just trying to circumvent that? Because if I'm the Orioles, I would not run the risk, especially, and you'd have to think they're getting a decent haul back from Machado, even though it's a two-month rental. You'd have to think that they would be aware of that. Let's see how that plays out. Who knows? Maybe it actually happens, the trade, officially before we get out of here or before first pitch. And the other thing, too, is, you know, and I think the parallel here is Kawhi Leonard. Tikhanov spent a lot of time on Kawhi. Where is he going to wind up? Where is he going to wind up? Now you're getting some noise, some traction. I think Windhorst had this, that the Raptors are in the lead, which with all due respect to Brian, who I think is pretty good, I just don't see that. I don't see that because as much as the Raptors kind of need to change their culture, they're not going to win with DeRozan and Lowry the way they're constructed now. But why would you trade for somebody, all right, as a rental? Because there's no way a San Diego kid's going to re-sign and go play in Canada. Why would you do that? And give up, whether it's DeRozan or whatever else you need to give up, top pick, other players you value, their bench is pretty good, anonymous names, but a pretty strong bench. So... Like that, but if they did that, like if actually, so that's the one possibility, clearly. But if I'm the Spurs and say, you know what, I'm going to roll the dice and I'm going to keep Kawhi Leonard on my roster and I'm going to prove that he's healthy and then I'll trade him in February. If you trade for, and here's the Machado parallel, I'm getting back to Machado. If you trade for Kawhi Leonard in early February, say if he's averaging, I don't know, what is he averaging? Last year was pathetic, you know, he just wasn't healthy. But say if he's averaging 23 points, 7 rebounds, 5 dimes, first team All-NBA defense, first team. He's basically Kawhi Leonard again. And all of a sudden, he gets traded to the Sixers. Or the Raptors make that move in season. Or whomever, right? He's not going to go to that team and average 12.3 points a game and shoot 36% from the field. There's not going to be this radical fall-off because that's not the way basketball is played. Now, he might go to a team that is constructed differently. You got to share the ball more. Fewer shots equates to fewer points. And there's a little drop-off in production. But now we get to Machado. I mean, there's no guarantee that Manny Machado goes to L.A. and he hits 315 and he just seamlessly blends in. I mean, he's hitting 315 now. He's got 24 bombs, almost 70 ribbies, an OPS sniffing 1,000. I mean, he's a beast, you know? Although his defensive metrics at shortstop are not good at all. I mentioned that on the show the other day. Even though he's got a great arm and he's got great hands, he's actually the worst-rated defensive shortstop, which I was stunned by. I saw that on MLB Network the other night. And this is the difference with baseball. This is why, in my opinion, anything that you do, you really need to be calculated. And you really need to ask yourself, boy, do I really want to give up two or three uber prospects for Manny Machado? Do I really want to tap into the deepest resources of my minor league system and give up two or three uber prospects for Jacob DeGrom? You think about that, and the enticement is, well, if the Brewers acquire him, or the Yankees, although the Mets would never trade with him, say the Red Sox, right? Or even Seattle. You know, you do that because you're fixated. You have this notion in your head, oh, man, I could see Jacob DeGrom. Oh, I can see it now. Cold, chilly October night, you know, pumping 98-mile-per-hour cheese, just nasty, filthy stuff. And we win 2-1, and he's got 12 strikeouts, and we get to the World Series. Great. Or it can be Chris Sale last year and have an ERA almost 9. You never know. So baseball is the one sport. You don't see these trades in football outside of, like, Herschel Walker. You get the occasional wacky one. Outside of basketball and hockey, like, all these great, like, these baseball trades, man, you got to do, before you push all those chips into the middle of the table and those chips representing the uber prospects, you got to really look in the mirror. Now, I do think there are a few teams based on their market share, their market size, the expectations, ticket prices, and this applies to the Dodgers, which is why I get why they're pursuing, plus Seager's injury, the Yankees, the Red Sox. It's probably it. Even though Seattle started to spend some money and the Giants have spent some money and they've got 3 championships in the last decade roughly, am I missing anybody? Am I missing a big market team, guys? I mean, that perennially is right there among the top 2 or 3 payrolls. The Mets operate like a small market team, even though they're the Cubs. Cubs have a high payroll. but they've got the one championship that they've been chasing forever, so they can flash a little prudence, whereas back in the day, they would do anything to get Chapman. Think about it. How the Yankees helped restock their cupboards. So he can come out, and he can mash, and he can be a star, or he can hit 215 or 225 or 230 and hit 8-9 home runs, which I don't think will happen. But, Mike, you've seen that. You just never know. You never know in baseball.
The question I have is, if you look at the Dodgers, right, before the season started, they had the 10th ranked farm system in baseball.
Okay.
Dodgers, number one. Braves, Yankees were up there, number six. But some of the top teams you don't really see with these good farm systems, because a lot of those good farm guys have either been traded for veteran assets or they're actually in the big leagues helping that team win.
And the good teams generally draft late.
Correct.
So they don't have access to Harper, correct, to Mike Trout, to Carlos Correa, to Strasburg first. Yeah, I got you.
So the Dodgers, like the Yankees, and actually even the Phillies, are in that rare position where they're winning now and have strong farm systems.
Yep.
So if you're the Dodgers and you have a veteran team with guys like Kershaw, who knows how much longer he has to go, with the way his body continues to break down, they've got a lot of good players in that team, but veterans who may or may not be hanging on for that much longer, some young talent also,
sure,
and a good farm system. They haven't won since 88.
That's amazing.
Isn't it worth it the Dodgers just to, like, I mean, their payroll is through the roof. They've had over $200 million in payroll for multiple years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Their fans are getting restless. They got LeBron in L.A. You got Todd Gurley and the Rams offense. You got the Chargers, like you're talking about, maybe being a Super Bowl contender. If you're the Dodgers, don't you have to do something to kind of make a splash and say, now is our chance? Like, let's forget about 3-4 years down the road and this prospect who may pan out or may not.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get Machado in here now. Maybe he signs long-term, maybe he doesn't, but we're going to win this year now.
Yeah, I listen, it's a calculated risk for sure. And if I'm running the Dodgers, I would make the move, because I believe that you have to believe now. It's an ego, it's a confidence, and not every organization has that cachet. But you have to believe that when you get him into Dodger Stadium and he feels the aura of those greats before him, you know, whether it's Fernando, whether it's Steve Garvey, whether it's Ron Say, whether it's whomever, Oral Hershiser, Tommy Lasorda, you mentioned 88, Tommy Lasorda, of course, Oral Hershiser, as I said. Yeah, I mean, that's a little different. Whereas, you know, years ago, when the Brewers got CeCe, as great as he was, that was almost a different reach. That was like, okay, we're not going to be able to sign him because we're not going to give him the money that the Yankees eventually gave him, but let's get him in here. Let's see what he can. He takes the baseball every 3 days. He was one of the best pitchers in baseball. There's certain teams that need to take calculated risks, and then there's certain teams that on occasion need to say, to hell with, you know, conventional thought, we got to go for it. And I do think that the Dodgers are unique in the sense that they've got the money to dig themselves out of any hole that they may build for themselves. As high as their payroll is, their pockets are frighteningly deep. And yeah, so I would do it. I would do it. Now, I mean, if I'm somebody else, like, let me get the standings up real quick. Nate, Mike, do you have them in front of you? I don't have them in front of me. That's not going to take long. Let me look at a team that is in the periphery of the race that I don't view as a strong contender.
The Pirates.
The Pirates aren't good enough this year. I wouldn't waste time with them. They're not good enough.
The Rockies or the Giants?
Rockies are interesting. Let's see. As are the Giants, because the Giants are folded up, are actually healthy now. Let's see. Boy, the Giants have a minus 28 run differential. Wow. And the Rockies are terrible at home. How about that? The Rockies are 23-23 at home. They always almost usually
just that humidor.
Yeah, well, and the Cardinals and the Diamondbacks have that now. Let's see. Those are good options. Let me see if I can find one better in the American League. D-Cell said Seattle in my ear, but they're a wild card team. They're going to be a playoff, so I don't look at them as a reach. I look at them as a team that's absolutely going to be playing at least one game in October. They won't unseat the Astros. Astros are definitely better. Maybe the A's. Maybe if I'm the A's. And they've done this before. The A's went to John Lester. I wouldn't do it if I'm the A's. Nah, it's just not worth it. You have zero chance to sign. Not that you have you have zero willingness to sign him is the better way to position it. You actually theoretically have a chance if you pulled all of your resources together, but they're just not motivated to operate that way with a checkbook. So, yeah, I can see why the Yankees and the Red Sox were in the mix for sure. Indians don't need him. Astros don't need him, even though Correa is hurt. He'll be back soon. Shortstop and third base set.
Well, hold on. You say the Indians don't need him. I mean, with how good those three teams, the Sox, Yankees, and Astros are, and even the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Indians can certainly use him.
Yeah, but their talent pool is fine. If anything, I'd get the Indians need bullpen help. They've got the worst bullpen in baseball. Now, Andrew Miller's been on the DL. It seems like he's been on there for 2 months with a bad back, and they need to get him right, and that could switch a lot. No, I don't think desperation, the Indians don't need to be desperate at all, not in my opinion.
And they already have Ramirez and Lindor at short and third, so it's not like Machado's going.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, that's what I base part of it on. Phillies, certainly I could see why they roll the dice here. Brewers, I could see why they were in the mix, at least reportedly, and I guess they still are until the Dodgers actually finished up. Hey, listen, we could do this all day and night. The bottom line is that he's a great player, but the cyclical, and I say this all the time on the show, the cyclical nature on baseball has to give you pause. You know, the best hitters in the game hit 300 for a reason, which means they fail 70% of the time because it's hard. As good as you are, it's hard. We'll see. All right, what do we got? Seneca Wallace coming up next, right? Now, Mike, what do we have him on for? He's obviously a former quarterback.
He is the superstar quarterback for the AFFL, Flag Football League is going on. And on Thursday, we'll talk more about it. There's a really interesting thing going on. It's going to be airing on NFL Network.
Oh, yeah?
And it's going to be Pros versus Joes. Michael Vick was part of it.
Wait, the Pros versus Joes?
Well, it's going to be similar. We'll talk a little bit.
Is it Pros? Is it like a reshoot Pros versus Joes?
No. It's a team of professionals of going against a team of non-professionals or former professionals. Seneca Wallace, Jason LaVant was on the team.
Right.
Michael Johnson, the world-class sprinter, is on this team.
He's playing football?
He's playing football.
Is he a receiver, I imagine?
I would imagine. You just have him go deep like Usain Bolt or something.
Wow.
No one's catching up to him.
He's like the modern-day Willie Gault. Like
I hope he has the gold shoes.
Yeah, it's right. All right, so we will talk to Seneca Wallace. Also, the transition, some of the young rookies getting ready for the NFL as camps around the corner. We'll do that coming up right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, so we hear that Amazon's up at its Prime membership fee from $99 to $119 for free shipping. That's a 20% hike. Pretty nuts, right? Well, not cheap, especially when Walmart offers free two-day shipping with no membership fee, and that obviously is a way better deal. A better deal with an extra $119 in your pocket? I like it. Think about what you could do with the extra $119. I remember when I came back from Puerto Rico, I said, Teek, my little guy caught his first fish with a little, I hate to admit this, you know, but it was the only thing available. It was a Frozen, you know, Disney's Frozen, the movie Frozen. Our good friends, they have two little girls, so it was theirs. I said, listen, you want to catch fish? You gotta use the Frozen rod. You can't be picky here, buddy. But Daddy's got to go get him some stuff that's, let's be honest, not Frozen. So that's what I would do. Get a little bait, get a nice little tackle box, get him a nice rod, get it from Walmart for $119. I could do that. Hey, here's the deal for everybody listening. What would you rather do with $119? While you're thinking about it, go to WalmartFreeShipping.com for the chance to instantly win a $119 Walmart gift card and be registered for the $1,119 grand prize drawing. That's WalmartFreeShipping.com for complete rules and details. 2 business day shipping. Minimum $35. Restrictions apply. All right, it's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save a little money. Just switch over to Geico. Whether it's homeowners or motorcycle insurance, get it all at geico.com. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki is back tomorrow. Rolling solo here. A lot of baseball. And All-Star Game tonight, I still get a kick out of it. We're gonna get to Seneca Wallace here, but that's why I will always defend every team having a representative at the All-Star Game. You're a little kid. I don't care how bad your team is. You're 9 years old, boy or a girl, sitting on your couch tonight watching the game. It is special to see that one player, even if he doesn't deserve it, and most of the times they don't, doff that cap when they introduce and they line up on the first and the third baseline. That is awesome. All right, so you guys know the name Seneca Wallace, great college player at Iowa State, great athlete, great player, played in the NFL as well, Seattle, and the Cleveland Browns. Well, he's still playing in the AFFL, and he's here to talk his shop, and they got a big thing going on the NFL Network coming up. Seneca, what's happening, buddy? Welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
No doubt about it. So, by the way, your two old teams are going through some interesting transitions, Seattle. Look, the Legion of Boom, just about all gone, and the Browns getting ready to finally maybe have a quarterback that's going to be there for a while. Interesting times for your old employers, huh?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Cleveland. And it's just a franchise that's been struggling for a long time. And I think it always starts at the top, like anything else, starts with management. Obviously, getting the right quarterback, I think, has been the big hiccup with that situation for the last 20 years. And so hopefully they can figure it out and maybe move on to do some big things this season. But we'll see.
Yeah, and, you know, by the way, you know, when you were there, and maybe it's because social media, everything's amplified, but, you know, I felt like, you know, you were there and some others. I feel like it's been a more – it's, like, so in your face these days about how the Browns need a quarterback. Did you feel that intense pressure when you were there? Because it seems so amplified now.
No, I think you hit it on the head. I mean, social media is playing a big part in everything right now. And I think one of the biggest things is the fact that we do have social media. And, you know, they went out and drafted Baker Mayfield. And I think they needed to get this one right. You know, I don't know, and time will tell if they did. But, you know, I know with that division and the teams that they play, I feel like the style of quarterback is very, very important for that division. And if you go through the list of them, they got pretty big-time quarterbacks, Roethlisberger, Flacco. You need a guy who can play in different type of weather. And so they always got the talent. There's always been talent there, but you've got to have somebody that can lead that ship, and it starts with the quarterback.
I got you. All right, let's talk about your endeavor. Seneca Wallace, former NFL quarterback, Iowa State star as well. So the American Flag Football League, the Ultimate Final, is going to be on Thursday, and it's going to be on the NFL Network at 8 p.m. You guys are playing for $1 million. But it's an interesting concept. You're playing kind of like a pros versus Joes thing. I mean, what's the point spread? I want to bet on you guys. First of all, can I bet on this game?
You can. I'm sure Vegas is holding some. But, you know, it's one of those interesting things, man. I mean, we're playing against a team that has been playing flag football for years. They've been playing together. But obviously we've gotten together over the last 3 weeks and put our team together. And over the last 2 weeks, we've been able to put up some points and move the ball. And obviously, that just goes to test about, you know, our makeup for our team. You know, we're all ex-NFL players that came together overnight. And we implemented an offense that we're all familiar with. And it's been working, you know. But at the same time, we got to play against a team that knows the rules, knows all the intricate details of flag football.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get used to pulling the flag. We really got to get used to it this week, because if we don't pull the flag very well on Thursday night, we can get beat.
Ooh, okay. Maybe I'll take the points and take the underdog. Maybe I'll take the Joes here.
It's a team, their name is Fighting Cancer. So you got to root for them in a sense. But I can tell you one thing, though. I mean, they're going to be in for a big surprise, because this will probably be the first time or ever that they ever faced NFL caliber speed, size, catching ability, all that stuff. So,
okay.
And with me playing quarterback, is going to be a different situation that they ever face.
There we go. Talking a little smack. Let them know what's waiting for them. And it's just, speaking of speed, gold medal sprinter, kind of, and I before we brought you on, before I took the last break, you probably remember the name, I think you're old enough, Willie Gault from the Bears back in the day?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure. I mean, he could run like the wind, and that's really all he did was just run go routes and catch a few bombs here and there. You guys have Michael Johnson on the team. Can he actually catch the football?
No. Let's just say, we'll get one thing clear right now.
What?
Michael Johnson is not playing. He's a face. He's a coach for our team, and that's it.
Okay.
I don't know if those old hamstrings will hold up, but yes, he was a guy that could run, but we have other speed, you know, Jahvid Best.
Yep.
I mean, we have Olympic gold medalists on our team with Jeremy Warner. So we definitely have a lot of speed, and we're very anxious to get back out there, because every week we lined up against the other pros. And so they used to seeing speed like we have, and we got Jacoby Jones. So being able to throw this in, you know, the Joe's face this week and have them have to handle our speed is going to be a big test for them.
What is the biggest – I'm trying to – you know, I played in the street growing up. I never played flag football in Brooklyn. We were just two-hand touch, and we'd smash each other into the cars, and if you got hurt, you got hurt, whatever. The telephone the telephone pole was the end zone. But for you, as you drop back, you know, back in the day, whether it was at Iowa State, whether it was in the NFL, the 11 years you played – trying to diagnose an NFL defense versus what you see in a flag football game, any similarities?
You know what? It's going to be weird, because obviously, like, again, this is the first time we faced the Joes. But over the last couple weeks, you know, it was hard, because I think for defensively, even for our team, unless you have a team that understands concepts and understands coverages, I think it's hard to implement a defense and get really tricky, you know, over the last 3 weeks that we've been together. So, you know, you're going to see some cover three, you're going to see some cover four,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to be different seeing what and how the Joes play. The Joes have been playing man coverage, it seems like, over the last 8-9 weeks they've been playing, but they can get away with that because they haven't faced a team like ours with the offensive speed that we have.
Yeah. Now, by the way, can you, like, jam or is there any physicality? Can I
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can get physical. The DBs can get physical
okay.
within 5 yards. All the same. It's just no blocking. There's no line.
Uh-huh.
But the outside receivers and DBs can get physical with each other.
Nice. I'm watching some of the highlights. TV's rolling yeah. them in on the simulcast. I see you throwing a few bombs. Nice over-the-shoulder pass to Javid Best here. He obviously uh-huh. can still run. And we're talking to Seneca Wallace here on Tiki and Tierney. So this is July 19th. It's Thursday at 8 p.m. NFL Network at BBVA mm-hmm. Compass Stadium. And I want to ask you this as we wrap it up. You know, with the concussion issue, what it is in the NFL and college and high school, every level, really. You know, do you notice a surge in interest and participation at the younger level? And if so, do you believe that flag football is a viable entrance into the sport of football, and then you can actually pick up hitting as you get a bit older and your body is more equipped for it?
Yes, 100%. I mean, I would definitely recommend, because the skill set ability for most skilled players is going to come into play playing flag football, right? You know, you don't have to deal with, you know, there's no lineman involved and teaching them techniques and blocking. This is a skilled man's game. And so being able to have, you know, if you start your son or daughter at a young age playing football, you're going to want them to develop their skill set. You know, may it be from hand-eye coordination, from, you know, just simple basic fundamentals of running or, you know, having great footwork. So I think flag football introduced that to kids at a young age without having to take on the physical punishment of putting pads on. And
yeah.
so if
yeah.
you can teach them that at a young age, I think it will work wonders. And obviously, like we said, it takes off the wear and tear of your body. And even for us, man, I mean, this is a big enjoyment for us to be out here playing in the AFFL. I mean, because it's given us an opportunity to keep playing a game that we love
mm-hmm.
without having to be physical, without having to deal with the politics, without having to – we're just lining up. And, you know, it's like you going to play rec basketball
yeah.
or whatever
yeah.
it is. You know,
yeah.
you're getting together to play.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we're getting to play on national television and have fun with it.
Well, last time I did that, I ruptured my Achilles. So no more rec hoops for me, although, man, I miss
smart.
It.
Yeah.
Make sure you stretch is what I'm saying.
100%.
Hey, man, I really enjoyed watching you in college and obviously in the NFL. But those days at Iowa State, those were fun days, man. You could really light it up. So nice to have you on the show. Appreciate you jumping on, buddy.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, there you go. Seneca Wallace, former Cyclone. Listen, it, you know, for a while, I think it was kind of a pipe dream. It was positioned as a viable introduction to the sport. And I'll be fair, I was like football for little kids? Come on, man. But when you really think about the skill set and certainly the preservation of the body, first and foremost, and not just the brain, but the knees and the joints and everything else, but really just the hand-eye coordination, you know, trying to get the flag, catching the football, disengaging, you could still bump, you know, if you're playing corner, you could still bump, press somebody off the line of scrimmage. It's a lot more viable than I thought it would be. And I don't think he's just saying that to, you know, to pump up his sport. Flag football. So, I mean, put it this way. You guys know my wife is from Dallas. Some of her friends who have sons who are a little bit older than we have at this point in the state of Texas, they're all playing flag football. And it's it's crazy. I mean, legitimate, where they've got like 1,000 people showing up to watch them play. That's how they introduce the kids to the sport now. So it's gaining traction, no doubt. All right, we'll come back. We've got the blast here on Tiki and Tierney. Jacob Wilkins, update. How you doing, brother? I haven't really addressed you. You've been, you know, what you called Manny Machado, Monty. I wasn't sure if you want to have you back on the show.
Oh, come on.
You do know it's Manny, not Monty, right?
Really?
Well, you know, do we need to look at the guys back there and give you a little, was it Manny or Monty? What did he say? D-cell. What did he say? Come on, what did he say?
I heard Monty.
Yeah, I think we all heard
Monty.
Yes. It's all right, buddy. Let's correct that. Let's do what you do.
Sure.
Jacob Wilkins, here he is, buddy. All right, Tiki and Tierney. Tiki's off. Tierney rolling solo. We'll get to the blast here in a sec. Also get a couple of calls, 855-212-4227. Let's see here. A-Rod. Bryce Harper, quote-unquote, pissing off a lot of people over hustle. Let's see. I wanted to get to this earlier. Give this a minute or so here. Let's see. You know, here's A-Rod. This was with Cowherd. All right. You know, ironically, is a quote. Ironically, it's been a very tough first half for Bryce Harper. Two reasons. Number one, you mentioned the .214 batting average, but I can get over that because he's a world-class athlete. It doesn't make any sense. That actually doesn't make any sense. You mentioned the .214. I'm going to be very literal for a moment here, but this makes no sense. And I like A-Rod, but this doesn't make any sense. Two reasons. Number one, you mentioned the .214 batting average, but I can get over that because he's a world-class athlete. Well, if anything, that's enough. That's why he shouldn't be a .214 hitter. What do you think he's saying? He's going to bust out of it?
Yeah, but world-class athletes are almost about like athleticism, whereas .214 hand-eye, it feels a little bit different. Like, you can still be a good defensive player, a good base runner, a good everything else, but batting doesn't necessarily translate to athleticism.
214, man. And I know that there's emphasis in batting average and putting the ball in play, but 214 is woeful. All right, he's taken enormous heat inside the game with his reputation. And what I mean by this is he's pissing off so many people by not running to first base, and they keep showing these replays over and over. And yes, he's done it like that for 8 years. And is that the Washington Nationals' fault just as much as his? Perhaps. Now, that's a great point. You know, when you allow that to happen, and Bryce Harper came up, he was 19 years of age, if you didn't nip that in the bud, that's on you. And there's a couple of different – you had Davey Johnson, you had Dusty Baker, right? And three managers. Am I missing somebody? I think it's three. So basically – and then you get to this point when he's basically staring at a $400 million contract, and he's 3 months away from saying, I might leave. Now, the last thing you want to do is chide him unnecessarily and piss him off, because then he just might say, eh, whatever. Now I'm going to really leave, you know, if you do it the wrong way. You got to get inside a young player's kitchen early. You know, I see this I give Joe Girardi a lot of credit with Gary Sanchez, and he was on him. His defense was lackluster, wasn't blocking the balls properly. You know, all he wanted to do was try to hit. Wasn't really showing any sort of real interest and diligence behind the plate. Not that he's got to be Carlton Fisk or even Girardi himself, but you've got to be competent. You know, if there's a man on third, you can't just try to scoop it. You gotta throw the shin guards in the dirt and try to box it up. So Girardi was all over him, but I respected that because he was young and he set a template. And while he's hurt now, he's gotten a little bit better, but a lot more mindful of his penchant for, you know, for not doing the little things defensively. I also understand it, you know, and it goes against the way I'm constructed. I was never a great player, but I really did play hard, probably to my detriment. But I always ran hard. I just didn't know. I wasn't good enough. Maybe if I was good enough, maybe once in a while you feel like you can. Like, it would never even enter my mind to loaf after a ball. To compare myself to a major leaguer is idiotic, so I'm certainly not doing that. But to give Bryce Harper a little bit of wiggle room, you play 162 games, although he rarely plays every game. You know, but you play hard, you know, if it's not for the game, if it's not to break up a double play in a meaningful spot, if it's not to, you know, if you hit a ball off the wall and you think it's gone and you're standing on first base, utterly unacceptable. If you don't properly tag up on a pop-up and you're on third base, utterly unacceptable. I mean, if you hit a three-hopper to second base and there's no chance you're going to beat it out, does it really matter? It doesn't matter. I mean, aesthetically, it looks bad. I get it, but does it really matter? Steve's in Connecticut. Steve is up on Tiki and Tierney. Steve-O!
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Stevie?
I just heard your flag football talk there and just had something to that. I think you're right on something. We're all on something. I'm fortunate to be in it. I'm a high school football coach here in Connecticut. And okay. I know the whole game. I'm the offensive coordinator of a team that played in the state finals, beat New Canaan this year. So mm-hmm. We had a nice little run there.
Nice.
Came in the fourth.
Steve, you there?
Final. So, oh. Yeah.
Oh, you cut out for a second. You cut out at the worst part. You were just running down your resume. Go ahead. Tell us again what you did. I want to hear it. Go ahead.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm an old dog. We was the offensive coordinator at a school that had a great year. We lost in the state finals. But I said, out of it, I kind of got myself a little passing league, a little football passing league. I had over 250 kids playing flag football.
Wow.
Ages 8 to 14.
Okay.
It was incredible, incredible league. And when you said this, I started looking and saying, wow, this is something I'm doing. And, you know, you're hitting on it. And you said, hey, in the beginning, I didn't really think I liked it. And
I didn't.
You know, now, you know, it's incredible how it's taken off.
But let me ask you this, Dale. I'm thrilled that you called in to share that. Appreciate it. Now, as a coach, now, like, slot stuff, quarterbacks, timing, receivers, tight ends, obviously members of the secondary, clear benefit. But what does it do long-term for the offensive line play?
For the offensive linemen. You're talking about offensive linemen. This is not a thing for you. This is a skill set league. This is people playing. This is little eight-year-olds catching balls, knowing how to tuck and score. It's funny. You got Tiki as your guy, and we talk about the high and tight rule. We actually talk about it. And I think it was Tiki Barber that got me into that.
Nice.
Because
nice.
I remember ball security issues, and all of a sudden, you know, Tiki was over-exaggerated high and tight.
Yeah.
But we actually call it the Tiki Tuck. It's kind of funny. I don't want to give him any trademarks on that, but you know, it's been unbelievable. You know, the kids really score and they feel good about it. And you know, when you're grabbing flags, you still are making an actual move towards actually making a tackle. I mean, it's not just side swipe flag.
No, I got you. Yep.
So I mean, you're getting some of that.
I got you.
But, you know, from a skill set standpoint, I mean, I've actually developed my high school quarterbacks because our league is kind of interesting. It's 20 and in, mm-hmm. 10 minutes on the clock, score as much as you can. And then so it's, you know, score, score, score some more. And the quarterbacks are high school quarterbacks. You can't have eight-year-olds thrown to eight-year-olds.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So my high school kids get a chance to play. They develop their skill.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got little – listen, there's no more pressure than a grandfather sitting in the stands saying you're not throwing to Johnny, who's 8 years old.
Oh, boy. That can't be fun, Steve. That cannot be – I'm sorry. I had to cut you only because I'm getting up against it here. No, that can't be fun when grandpa or dad or whomever is just giving you that glare, that death glare. And then some are actually, you know, lunatic enough to stand up and start screaming at you. Oh, the horror stories that I hear. I know it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. That's why my dad always says, don't coach. Do yourself a favor. Don't coach. I'm like, but Dad, you coached. You coached me. He's like, different world. Don't coach.
You know, it's the same thing about any other situation in life. If you've done it and you've learned from your mistakes, you don't want your kids to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. And the difference is back then, listen, when he was coaching, there was no – like, he didn't have to send out emails. It was, we have practice on Wednesday at 6:30. If you're not there, you're not playing. I mean, it's that simple. And hopefully, you know, your parents will, because we were young, will pick up the phone and give us a heads up. Now it's just – and it was a 12-game, you know, Catholic grammar school little league, you know. Basketball is a bit more in-depth with tournaments and some stuff. But he's like, just do yourself a favor. Don't coach. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to be the head coach because I don't know if I'm going to have that built-in flexibility with work, number one. But I'll throw batting practice. I'll get out there. I'll shag with the kids. I'll definitely help out. But the head coach, nah, I don't want to have to deal with that. No, Mike.
I can see you yelling at other parents or yelling at.
No.
I can
no,
see
no,
you
no,
in the sidelines
no.
getting all fired up if someone trips Colton by mistake.
No. No.
But real quick question for you. We talked about this last week. Steve Keim, the GM of the Cardinals, was arrested on July 4th for a DUI.
Yeah, we talked about this. Yep, definitely.
And we were talking and comparing it to the double standard that would be in place if the Cardinals don't fire him based off of the fact that they cut Michael Floyd 2 days after his DUI. Now, granted, we saw the video. He was wasted. He
was
asleep behind
the wheel. He was asleep.
Looked very bad. They cut him 2 days later. He had a BAC of 2.217.
He would have been dead.
0.217.
Yep.
So we said back then, this was about a week ago, we said, let's find out what Keim's BAC is, and if it's around that same level, the Cardinals should act.
Yep.
Came out today, 0.193. Pretty much a half a beer less than what Michael Floyd had in his system. Mm. Maybe even less. Mm. A 0.217 to a 0.193.
That's close. That's perilously close.
And here's what the Cardinals did. Dangerous. They suspended him 5 weeks.
Yeah.
A $200,000 fine.
Okay.
Probably makes a little over $1 million.
He's making more than that. But yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the middle range GMs probably make 1.5, so he's probably somewhere around that general area, 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
So 200K and 5 week suspension for a BAC pretty much identical to Michael Floyd.
Yep.
Thoughts?
Is it now? All things considered, even it seems utterly unfair. It seems unfair, but I think the difference. Now, I don't know how Keim comports himself day to day in the building, but I'm guessing it's pretty good. We've heard nothing else to the contrary. So the difference with Floyd had a lot of issues. He had a lot of baggage. I just think that was the last thing. And the other thing, too, listen, we saw this with Ray Rice, and we talk about this all the time. Visual is just strong. It's seared into your mind. I mean, even Tiger Woods on the side of the road, like where he didn't even know what was going on. It's a sad look. You can't remove yourself. You can't detach yourself from that. It leaves a definitive imprint. So when we all saw Floyd slumped at the wheel, even though the BAC is in essence the same thing, it's a different association because one is an image and one is not. But they're close. That's a sloppy. That's an ugly number right there. All right, good job. Appreciate all the tweets, the conversation. Santa, good work. D-Cell, good work out of you as well. All-Star game tonight. I can't wait. Hold your little one close. Teach him about the game. Tell him how great baseball still is. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace. Gotta go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.